We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you from Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and I spend Monday through Friday on the radio, 91.5 FM, WWBC, 1510 AM, right here with you, going to work, coming home from work, going throughout your day, whatever you do. I do this because I want you walking in the fullness of life that Jesus promised for each of us. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the full. So I want you walking in that. You know, my daughter, I think it was for her birthday, somebody gave her a shirt and it said, not today, Satan, not today, Satan. And I just happened to really like that shirt because, today was not made for him. Today was made by God for his pleasure. And so you and I, we want to fulfill the purpose that God has for us. Right now we are going through the Lord's Prayer. Specifically, we are dealing with it where it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So, excuse me. Right now we are talking about your kingdom come. So what does life inside the kingdom look like? It looks entirely different than life outside the kingdom of God. The kingdom of, listen, there's not this no man's land out there. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of darkness. You're in one of two kingdoms. One, God tells you everything there is to know to get you to say yes to his lordship. The other one will tell you as little as possible, lie to you, steal from you, deprive you, and try and diminish the consequences of your actions. And I mean, he's a master of misinformation, the devil is. So I want you to say yes to the kingdom of God. It's a different mindset. I want to reiterate that. I talked about this earlier in the week. I want to say it again. Kingdom mindset is different than the political landscape that we see in America or anywhere else. It is not a kingdom that is of this world. It is a kingdom that supersedes this world. It predates this world. It will exist after this world has run its course. The kingdom of God is forever. So I want you to say yes to God's glorious kingdom. So we're gonna try to get into as much of this as we can today. We're not gonna get through all of this particular lesson, but Matthew chapter 25, verse number 31 through 40 says this: When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And you could go on and read verses 41 through 46, and you would see exactly the opposite. And the end result of those, is verse 45 and 46 is this. Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So the kingdom of darkness results in eternal or everlasting punishment. And those who have entered the kingdom of God, who are practicing the principles of the kingdom of God, who are loving on the least of them, just like they were loving on Jesus himself, they will go into eternal life. There's another point that I want you to see, and that is in verse number 34. It says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, get this, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In other words, God created you with a divine purpose in mind. He picked the time in which you were going to live. He picked the place in which you were going to live. He has a purpose for you. He wants you to walk in that purpose. The devil wants to deprive you of that purpose. Don't take it personal. He just hates your guts. Every time he sees you, it reminds him of God, and he just is at war with God. But the kingdom of God is not something that was just prepared for a few people. The kingdom of God is prepared for all. And the great thing about this is the people who were doing this were doing acts of compassion, and they didn't even realize that Jesus was paying attention. They didn't realize that there was a breakthrough moment that was getting ready to take place, where Jesus was going to say, while you were loving on them, look at what I have been preparing for you. I've been working on this since the foundation of the world. Come on in. And so hopefully you will not live your life with a calloused, self-serving means. It's easy to get to in this world. It's easy to become jaded. It's easy to become desensitized and calloused to the needs around us. It really is. Trust me, it's easy to become that way. But if we will make sure that we remain tender to love people the way God wants us to love people, that doesn't mean putting our stamp of approval on their behavior. Okay? There are things that God abhors. And so I can't go to those people who are actively doing those things that God abhors and say, hey, you know what? I'm just so proud of you for rejecting everything that God ever said. But I can tell them, you know what? God loves you. He wants to deliver you. And he wants to put you back on the path that he wanted you to be on all along. That is what the kingdom of God is calling us to do. So you and I, we've got this kingdom that has been prepared for us. In Matthew chapter 13, we're going to spend a lot of time here in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So let's just stop there for just a moment. The kingdom of God is worth more than everything. It's the most important thing. That's why you can see people in third world countries who really don't have much in the way of tangible goods, but they've got the King of Kings living inside of their hearts, and they can be just as blessed because of the fact that they've got this tremendous treasure living inside of them, that life for them is as bad as it's ever going to get. And eternity holds great, great promise for them. But he's walking with them day by day, and so they're just happy to have this great treasure. And why you can look also in some first world civilizations and cultures and see people that have all of the tangible goods, all of the everything that you could comprehend, and yet they are empty and they're bankrupt on the inside, and they have nothing of eternal value going on in their life. Not because God doesn't want them to, but because they did not appreciate the precious gift that was available to them in having a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord, Savior, and King. The kingdom must be seized in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12. Let's start reading at verse number 11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. You and I, we've got to quit waiting, procrastinating, hoping that it's going to happen, and realize, hey, there's kingdom business that is taking place right now. When Jesus was 12 years old, he told his parents, did you not realize that I must be about my Father's business? So there's Jesus at 12, and he's saying, hey, I need to be doing kingdom business. And then we've got, on the other hand, people who are saying, well, it's not time. Listen, I think that it would be very wise if we surrounded ourselves with people of faith. There's an interesting commercial that's on television. I don't even know the product that's being advertised. I haven't looked at it that much. But it says this: where do all the people that say something can never happen, where do they go when it takes place? And it shows people being in one place, and then poof, they're gone. They're someplace else, because they're the people that, you know, others, some would like to say are the voices of reason. And I just want to say, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we will rationalize ourselves right out of obedience. We'll talk about all the reasons why something can't be done. And in reality, God is saying, hey, we can do this together. We can do this together. I pray that you and I, we will dream big. We will dream godly dreams. And we'll say, God, we want the kingdom of God taking place here. John the Baptist went out and started proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and people started responding. And I tell you, right now, there is so much hunger. People are looking to other people for the answers when we should be looking to God for the answers. And I will tell you, I don't want to set aside kingdom business for a secondary business. You know, when I was working retail, this predates our time in Florida even. I was driving a long way to work. I was driving 81 miles each way to work. And not making that much money, had a wife and a child, and was serving on a church out in Texas. And I needed to generate more income. I was the manager of the store. I needed my pay increased. And, you know, the thought crossed my mind, well, you could go out and get a part-time job. And then I realized that if I just structured my time a little bit differently and was able to spend more time out on the sales floor, that I could generate more income by selling than I could by being in the back or going out and finding another job. I just needed to maintain the right priority. I will tell you this, it is going to be more profitable for us as believers in the kingdom of God if we will lay hold on the kingdom and say, God, make me the best man that I can possibly be. If you're a female, say, God, make me the godliest woman that I could be. I want to seize that opportunity. I want to seize it for my neighbor's sake. I want to seize it for my children's sake. I want to seize it for my spouse's sake. I want to seize that opportunity for my church's sake, for this community, for my coworkers. I want to be walking in the fullness of the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 13, we go back over there again. Matthew chapter 13. And verse number 33, it says, another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. God, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. What happens when God's kingdom comes? That kingdom doesn't stay compartmentalized. It doesn't just become an ingredient, but that kingdom mentality, that kingdom dynamic begins to operate in every area of our life. It works throughout the entirety of our being. It touches our whole nature. All of a sudden, you are being transformed by the kingdom of God, and it touches you spiritually. It touches you physically. It touches you mentally. Listen, if the kingdom of God hasn't touched your heart so that it impacts your mouth yet, I want you to know there's more to the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God hasn't touched your finances yet, believe for the kingdom of God to work throughout the entirety of your being. I'm here to tell you, I know people who started off with virtually nothing in their life but problems financially. And God has worked supernaturally in their life. And you know what? They used to feel bad about being blessed. Now, let me explain something to you. That blessing isn't always just pennies falling from heaven or, you know, walking outside and $1,000 bill hit you on the head. That's not what happened. These people have put the kingdom of God, they have put the principles of the kingdom of God to action. They have walked in obedience, and they are walking in supernatural favor. And this conversation goes back several years. They said, I'm not apologizing for God's blessing anymore in my life, because the kingdom of God is working. Listen, the kingdom wants to work in our spirits. Thank God. If we only get the kingdom in one area of our life, let's get it into the spiritual. But I don't believe I've ever said this before. You can't keep God in a cage. I don't care who you are. Don't say, God, we want you to operate outside the box. There is no box big enough to contain a God who's bigger than the universe. Allow God to work in every area of your life, just like this leaven, as the person who was working, this woman was working the dough together. The leaven was reaching every aspect of that. And you and I, we need to make sure that that's a reality in our life. I just turned to the wrong part of the scriptures, Matthew chapter 7. And again, if you miss some of these, log on to WMIEFM.com. you can type in the date and go back and listen to them, hit pause, write them down, do whatever is necessary, but don't miss how important the kingdom of God is to you and I. Matthew chapter 7 says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So you and I, we've got to be willing to do the will of God. In Matthew chapter 6, where we are talking about your kingdom come, your will be done, we're treating those as two different teachings of Scripture, but in actuality, you cannot separate the one from the other. You can't say yes to the kingdom while saying no to the will of the king. It's not going to work that way. Now God is patient with us. And so if we've blown it in an area, he will continue to work with us. But when we say yes to the king, we are saying yes to his will. And so we cannot be so focused and fixated on the doing the things of the ministry while missing the king of the ministry. And Jesus said, you were practicing, get this, lawlessness. Lawlessness. I have never heard the term lawless as much outside of the church as I have in the past 10 to 15 years. There is so much anarchy where people do what is right in their own eyes. They don't ask at all whether God is in it or not. In fact, I believe that that is one of the reasons why there is such an anti-God agenda, an anti-Christ agenda, is because it promotes lawlessness. Listen, you cannot have the peace of God without having the Prince of Peace in power in a society. It's just not going to work. And so the more that people have gotten away from God, the more they practice lawlessness, and it separates us from the king. Separates us from the king. So we need to be a part of what God wants us to do. In Matthew chapter 5, and verse number 17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." So we have got to be, there's two things here. We've got to know the will of the king. So I'm going to touch on three things. There's two things laid out in the scripture here. But we got to know the heart of the king. Here are the two things. And then we've got to become a practitioner of the things that God wants us to do. We've got to be a practitioner of it. Remember, as we're going through this Sermon on the Mount series, Jesus came to elevate the standard. We are called to live above the chaos, the division, the strife, the discord, the disdain that others around. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is able to operate in our lives in such a way that we can actually practice self-control? There are so many times when there is something going on in society and everybody else feels at liberty to just go ahead and say what is on their mind and not worry about the consequences whatsoever. And then the Holy Spirit will tap me on the head when I'm getting ready to put something out there. And he said, you're not here to represent you. You're here to represent the King. And so many times I want to put something out there, and the one who is my commander in chief says, no. See, I want to practice. I just don't want to know. And then it says that we teach the King's commands. That's what I'm here to do on the radio. Let me tell you something. If you think that we're doing this to get rich, you're wrong. And that got a chuckle from Paul over here. Like, we're not here getting rich off of radio ministry. That's not what's happening. But what is taking place is there are people hearing the word of God and they're putting it into practice, and that's where the great reward is. Look, I don't want to be spending so many hours doing something, so many dollars doing something, and then come time to for an accountability before God, and he said, you know, you really messed that up. I that's not what I want to do. I want people to hear the word of God and say, you know what, I'm going to put that into practice. I believe that God wants me to be a person who helps others to fulfill their walk with Christ. Okay. Society says, pay attention to what I say, not to what I do. The kingdom says there's no disconnect between the things that I say and the things that I do. Be a practicer of the will of God and teach people to live in the will of God. And you will find that it is a glorious, glorious, lifestyle. It's a completely different mindset. Completely different mindset. Say, you know what? That point might be valid, but I've got a higher calling. Don't forget that you are on King's business. So when people come around your workplace and they start gossiping, say, you know what? I got a message from the King that I've got, and it's much more important than what's going through the grapevine around the office here. Can I just pray with you just a moment? Let's be on kingdom business. Let's live above the fray, and let's be bearers of good news. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.